Welcome to the jungle. An awesome Monday to you. What's going on? How you feeling? Hope you had a great weekend, and it is great to have you here. Welcome to the show, brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. How was your weekend experience? Nice to have you here. Oh, look who's there. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, my God, Hawk, smile at least. Dude, you look exhausted. You look miserable. He's rocking his medal. He did it. EP Adam Hawk finished the LA Marathon. We have a complete recap of that. He's showing his marathoner's tan and rocking his medal. You didn't wear your whole outfit. You didn't wear your running gear, Hawk. All right, so I've got that for you, too. Keith Arnold finished as well and finished way ahead of Adam Hawk. So I've got a complete recap of that. The LA Marathon, both the boys finished. They both made it into work the next day. Way to man up. I love it. Hawk, good job. Good job, Hawk. I've got thoughts on it, which I'll get to a little bit later on. Here's your telephone number. We are toll free. 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Busy, busy Monday. We've got an interview coming up next segment. Matt Norlander, CBS Sports senior college basketball writer, helps us break down the weekend of college basketball action. That's coming up in about 15 minutes. Coming up in hour number two, a guard for the LA Clippers, Landry Shamet. Also in hour number two, Gonzaga head basketball coach Mark Few. So we are front loading all three interviews coming up in the first half of the program. I've got an ATP on a Monday. I'd love to hear from you. We are close to announcing a date for the Smack Off, which means it's official Smack Off season. Come on in, get a golden ticket. 1-800-636-8686. Let me start with the Sweet 16. The Sweet 16 doesn't taste so sweet, does it? In fact, it tastes like chalk. Watching this weekend's action was like eating a box of chalk. It's tied for the chalkiest Sweet 16 in history. In other words, the top three in every region are all in, as well as a pair of fours. Chalk, 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 chalk. And now people can stop saying chalk for a while. We get it. We understand. The only teams that are not top four seeds are a 28-win Auburn team that beat the crap out of Kansas and a 12-win Oregon, who I said last night on Twitter is the nastiest 12 I have ever seen. I mean, seriously, my ass, they're a 12. 12s are for scrappy mid-majors. There's nothing scrappy or mid-major about Oregon. But just because there weren't any crazy upsets in the second round does not mean that the games weren't good. There were some that were very good and a couple that were close to instant classics. Close. How close? This close.
Allen will trigger. Everybody in the building scanning. All 18,000. Allen looking. Gets it in up top to Taylor. 5 seconds. He's on the right wing. He drives inside. Leans in. Puts it up. No good. Tap back. No good by Dawkins. Duke rebounds. And the ball game is over. The Blue Devils escape 77-66.
That's Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. UCF came that close to knocking off Duke. And not just Duke, but Duke with Zion, RJ Barrett, Cam Reddish. Three top 10 picks. UCF nearly did it. Every time I watch that replay, I expect the ball to drop in. I still can't believe it didn't go in. It touched about every single inch of the rim, but it did not fall. How the hell did that stay out? But the shot that would have destroyed just about every single bracket simply would not go down. UCF did everything they could to win that game. They earned that win. Going into the game, the hype was all about Zion v. Taco. And that battle lived up to all the hype, with Taco blocking Zion not once, not twice, but three times. If Zion looked like a man among boys the whole season, Taco looked like the man's father among boys. Again, he blocked this guy not once, not twice, but three times. And you knew it was going to come down to these two guys. You knew it would come down to Zion v. Taco in the final seconds with Duke down three.
A lot of time. You end up sending
Williamson driving in on Taco. And that's going to make the fall as the basket goes.
How about that? Talk about attacking. Put this team on your shoulder. Big time delivery. How about those onions, Greg?
So if you're Zion Williamson and you're going up against a 7'6" blocking machine, what's going through your mind? Zion, quote, "A lot's going through my mind. But like Coach said, I consider him the greatest coach of all time. And when he looks at you and tells you you're made for this moment, it's like the most confidence you can be given. So when I went to the basket, I knew it was going in." End quote. Zion scores. Taco fouls out. And that set up some of the most painful what-ifs ever if you're a UCF fan. Because while the hype going into that game was Zion v. Taco, the reality of the game was Zion v. Aubrey, as in Aubrey Dawkins. The UCF guard had 14 points in the first round. He broke out for 32 against his dad's old school, tying Zion's total. Zion is the greatest college player since the greatest college player, and Aubrey matched him bucket for bucket and needed only one more bucket, one more fraction of an inch to win that battle and win that game. Run that final shot back one more time.
Allen looking, gets it in up top to Taylor. 5 seconds, he's on the right wing. He drives inside, leans in, puts it up, no good. Tap back, no good by Dawkins. Duke rebounds, and the ball game is over. The Blue Devils escape 77-66.
How did that not go down? Every time I watch that, and I've watched it 100 times, I expect it to go down. Zion said, quote, "I mean, when he tipped it, you talk about microseconds. When that ball rolled around the rim, it looked like it was going in. But as Coach K talks a lot about, the basketball gods, they had our back tonight," end quote. Man, they sure as hell did. Because 99 times out of 100, that ball drops. And if Taco is still on the floor, he probably finds a way to get that down. And that is brutal for UCF fans. And if you thought that was painful, that was nothing compared to what it was like in the UCF locker room after the game. I always love those shots of the winning coach coming in to the winning locker room, getting drenched in water and partying with his guys. But Johnny Dawkins talking to his team, who played their guts out, was powerful and it was painful.
I don't often get to tell you about this, man, because we're pushing for moments like this. I'm just proud of you guys, man. I'm really proud because what you did this year, not just tonight, you did this year representing our program, representing our university. You could be more proud of how you handled yourself on and off the court. And you guys have been terrific. So just know, man, these guys, you left an amazing legacy, guys. You left an amazing legacy that will never be forgotten. And so again, you know, it's hard. It's hard for me to speak to you guys right now, as you know. I'm feeling like you feel. And that's how we should be. So let's bring it in.
1, 2, 3,
family!
It's absolutely gut-wrenching. I mean, I'm not sure I've ever seen a locker room like that. Just gut-wrenching. That's why the tournament's so great, and not just because of the incredible upsets from the underdogs, but because of the great games where the Blue Bloods do hang on. Such as Kentucky and Wofford, the bluest of the Blue Bloods versus the smallest of the small schools. But if you thought the Terriers were a cool story with a great shooter and a great coach, you were wrong. They are so much more than that. That wasn't one of those, you know, nice to be here. Ah, shucks, great to be here. Oh, what an honor, we get to play Kentucky. Man, they were battling with Kentucky. They gave Kentucky absolutely everything they could handle for 40 minutes. Every single time it looked like Kentucky might pull away, Wofford came right back. Storm Murphy or Nathan Hoover would hit from deep, and the Wildcats would be back on their heels again. The Terriers went toe-to-toe with one of the biggest, baddest programs, and that was with Fletcher McGee, the most accomplished three-point shooter in NCAA history, going 0-for-12 from deep, and they were still right there. As John Calipari said afterwards, quote, "If they hit a normal amount of threes, they'd probably beat us," end quote. And no probably about it, no doubt about it. So, this year, there is no Loyola Chicago. Neither is there a UMBC like last year. But just because this Sweet 16 is still loaded does not mean it's boring. There's nothing boring about Florida State v. Gonzaga, or Texas Tech v. Michigan, or Duke via Virginia Tech or Auburn via North Carolina. The lack of upsets in the second round means way too many people are going to use the word chalk way too many times. But it also means we're going to get a loaded Sweet 16 and incredible matchups everywhere you look. I mean, bring it on. Bring it the hell on. I'm not here to dog this at all. I love it. And if you want to rewatch the Duke-UCF game, it will be re-airing tonight on CBS Sports Network, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. If for whatever reason you missed that game, you can watch it again tonight right here on CBS Sports Network. Again, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. It was an instant classic. It was an amazing game. All right, so what are your thoughts? Anybody want to react to anything they saw over the weekend? 1-800-636-8686. Other things. Gronk made it official on Instagram. Rob Gronkowski is going to retire. And, you know, it's not for me or anybody else to say when guys should or should not retire, but it's a good thing. I'm glad to see it. This guy's going out on top. He had an amazing career. He's going out on top. He's going out on his own terms. He's going out while he can still walk. It makes perfect sense to me. So a complete breakdown of that. Also, regarding the Pats, I want to talk about Bob Kraft's non-apology. Come on, man. Did you really get suckered into that? Sorry. Sorry for what? He doesn't say. And a complete recap of the marathon. Hawk, you were trying so hard to stay awake, to try to smile. You did it, dude. You did it. Hawk's walking around today like he got shot. He's in his sandals with his socks, trying to hold it together. I'm proud of you, Hawk. Way to go. Chael Jr., too, showing up big. Two members of the XR4TI not only running the LA Marathon, they finished the LA Marathon. Very impressed with both of you fellas. All right, when we come back, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-8686. First up, though, Matt Norlander joins us. We'll get his thoughts on the weekend. When you're on the field, it's all about the right timing, knowing when to plan the play, knowing when to make the play. It's what all the great coaches who know how to get what they want are doing on the sidelines. They're making a plan, and they're executing it when the time is right. O'Reilly Auto Parts has a similar philosophy. When you need a part, but you're not in position to go pick up that part, you can just order the parts you need at O'ReillyAuto.com. Then you pick them up at any of their 5,000 stores nationwide when you're ready to do so. No shipping costs, returns are always easy, and you can pick them up when it's convenient for you. It is easy, and you know that what you want is going to be there. It saves you time in the store as well. The shopping game begins when you say it begins, and it ends when you get what you want at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's like you've won before you even head out the door. Make the smart play. Shop your way for the parts you need at O'ReillyAuto.com. That's O'ReillyAuto.com. Better parts, better prices every day. O'ReillyAuto.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
This tweet is from Randall in the OC. He tweets, Hawk and Arnold both finished the race. I've lost a lot of respect for marathons.
Yeah!
Two members of the XR4TI ran and completed the LA Marathon. All right, it was an amazing weekend of college basketball. So that being said, you know I'm going to run down my man. He covers college basketball for CBSSports.com. He is co-host of CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball podcast, and we consider him a very good friend of the program. Matt Norlander is my guest. Matt, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm stunned and I guess relieved that Hawk called me. I picked up the phone. I didn't think it'd be him. Thought it might be another member of the XR4TI. When it was him, I presumed that he actually bailed on the marathon. But Jim, hold on a second. Are you telling me right now that this guy ran a marathon and is back in the studio? What's going on here?
Completed the marathon in the studio, rocking the medal around his neck to prove it. It's a real thing. It happened, Matt. I know. We're all kind of shocked, but he did
do it. You know
what,
though? I'm going to need video evidence to make sure we don't have, was it Rosie Ruiz back in like 81? We need the clones to fact check this whole thing.
No, he did. He did. It took him like 12 hours, but he did do it. All right, so let me ask you this. How many times have you watched the replay of Aubrey Dawkins tip it in at the end of the UCF-Duke game? And, Matt, are you like me in thinking that that shot is going to go down every single time and never does?
Yeah, you know what? You know what came to mind? I've watched it at least 15 times. I still can't believe that Denim Brown shot did not go in 2006 to knock out George Mason in the NCAA tournament in the Elite Eight there, because this is what we see happen so often. And, you know, it's part of the drama, part of the heartbreak. And frankly, I think for casual fans that watch this tournament and root for their brackets to be blown up, part of the frustration is that the higher seed of the blue bloods, the big dogs, they just almost always seem to escape in these kinds of situations. You can't even believe that ball didn't fall in. Not only that, though, if Taco Fall doesn't foul out, and he deserved to foul out, don't get me wrong, but if he doesn't foul out, RJ Barrett's not grabbing that offensive rebound to put it back and put Duke up by one late. So for UCF, you had to have three or four things not go your way for Duke to escape. Of course, Duke is Duke, and things wound up going Duke's way. It moves on. But I will say this. There's been a lot of talk, Jim, about how Zion Williamson has made Duke likable. I have no issue with Duke, but I reject that premise. No, Zion Williamson has made Duke very watchable, more watchable than it's ever been. But I posted on Twitter during this game, I was like, you know what? If Zion Williamson actually has made Duke likable, then if you're watching this game right now and you normally don't like Duke, you're going to be rooting for them to win. And I got, as the kids say, ratioed into the ground. By no means were people rooting for Duke to win that game. But if you're also honest with yourself, having a Duke versus Virginia Tech matchup in the Sweet 16, just a little bit more enticing and appealing than, say, a UCF versus Virginia Tech matchup. So we have that to look forward to in what is a very stout Sweet 16 slate of games.
Matt Norlander joining us. I like it. All right, so if you're Buzz Williams and you're Virginia Tech, and you've already beaten Duke once this year, and yes, they did so without Zion, but if you're Buzz, what are you taking away from that game?
Well, I mean, you're taking away, one, that we're going to play this game relatively close to Blacksburg. We get it in D.C., and we know we're going to have a pretty good strong contingent. You're taking away that we didn't have Justin Robinson in that game, and now he's back. We get to be refreshed. We get to, by the way, it will for Virginia Tech to play much closer second weekend than it did first, I think is no insignificant thing. And then Duke, much has been made about how poor it is from three-point range. It might be becoming a tired talking point. Jerome Bettis is from Detroit, if you have not heard. But guess what? It's relevant. 30.7% from three-point range. Duke will regress to its mean. Virginia Tech, on the other hand, loves to shoot it from deep, does often, makes 40% of its three-point shots. It's top 10 in America from three-point range. Now, we've seen some freaky stuff in the tournament already. You know, take example we saw Wofford, Kentucky. You have the most prolific three-point shooter in the history of the sport have the worst statistical game from three-point range ever in the tournament. That's Fletcher McGee, 0 of 12. No one had ever shot that many threes in a game, in a tournament game, and not made one. And the guy who's made more than any wound up doing it. So the tournament can be freaky like that. So potentially we get some sort of weird thing where Duke shoots 45% from three versus Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech goes cold, only makes 15% of its threes, and onward will go the Blue Devils. But the statistics don't say that's going to happen. And when you have the confidence that you've already beaten this team, I think it plays into an advantage for Virginia Tech. I think it's going to be really close. It's going to be hard to top what Duke-UCF was in terms of a watch because that was a tense game the whole time. Aubrey Dawkins played the game of his life. But I do think Virginia Tech has a real chance to knock off Duke. I think that would be not as surprising of an upset as, say, three or four other potential possibilities in the second week. And, like, Oregon beating Virginia to me would be much more surprising for as hot as Oregon is than Virginia Tech over Duke.
Matt Norlander joining us. There is so much to unpack in that. Let me get you to stay on Kentucky for a minute. Again, Wofford gave Kentucky everything they could handle, and they did so, as you point out, with Fletcher McGee going 0 for 12 from deep. Matt, if you're John Calipari, how worried are you about what that means against Houston this week, or are you all about survive and advance without P.J. Washington?
P.J. Washington stuff is huge. Him not being available, first of all, that whole situation was a little bit shifty there because it seemed like Calipari was kind of trying to pose it at the start, like maybe he'll be available, and then the next thing we know, he's in a hard cast. He's, you know, he's got the leg on the little wheelie deal there, and now, I mean, maybe he's going to play, but no P.J. Washington. I mean, he is such an important factor. I mean, he is the team's leader. He is by far the most important player on that roster. Now you play a Houston team that is not built the way that Wofford is. They're very different teams. So maybe you embrace that kind of change of style. This is a team that's Houston that's more built to play. Like, Kentucky would rather play Houston than Wofford, I think, if you gave them the chance, even though Houston has rated as a better team. Defensively, I think Houston will be good to go. They're guard-oriented, so I think it'll be a pretty fascinating matchup there, like Ashton Hagans on Corey Davis, maybe Galen Robinson. That'll be pretty fun. What Kelvin Sampson's done has been awesome. It's been amazing. They finally get to the Sweet 16. We know last year they got Jordan Poole at the buzzer. They finally break on through. I have Houston going and winning this game. I think it'll be close. It'll be low scoring. It'll be a pretty fascinating watch. And that game, in fact, is going to, if you're trying to set up your Thursday and Friday here, That game will be snug up against Duke, Virginia Tech. So the best window of the Sweet 16 will be the late Friday window. Have two screens ready because it's going to be an awesome one. But I do think Houston will move past Kentucky and get to the Elite Eight.
Matt Norlander joining us. Matt, go back to Oregon for a minute. They're the only double-digit seed left, but they were a preseason top 15. They certainly did not look like a 12 yesterday in the way they pulled away from UC Irvine. How different is this Ducks team from the one that lost three straight to Oregon State, USC, and UCLA only a month ago?
Oh, it's noticeably different. And now, still, I will say this. Now, they're hot. They haven't lost since February 23rd. By every single measure, Oregon is the worst team left on the field. They are hot. Maybe they're one of the hotter teams. But if you take into account everything they've done this season, I mean, they're 29th in KenPom. The top 14 teams at KenPom are still alive. LSU is 18, and Oregon's all the way back at 29 there. Defensively, they've been great. Kenny Wooten is a clone, pun intended, of Jordan Bell. Like when we saw what Jordan Bell did 2 years ago getting Oregon to the Final Four, Kenny Wooten's done a lot of that. Lewis King is playing better and better. And for them to have done this, you know, Bol Bol goes down early in the year without an injury. They haven't even had him. They've overcome that in part, not because of a big man, but Peyton Pritchard. Some of the shots he hit against Irvine to knock out the Anteaters were just absurd. Like vintage March Madness stuff, just step back threes. Really, really impressive. But that said, it's a defensive-oriented team. I know that game against Virginia is expected to be slow, like really slow, like first to 60 probably wins. But Virginia's got a really good offense. I know we were all kind of gripping a little bit with that Gardner-Webb start, but they rallied to win by 15. And then Oklahoma was just within shouting distance. But I still think Virginia is going to beat Oregon. And it's going to beat them in a way where it's like, you look up and the final scores say like 64-58, but it feels like 66-48 kind of deal. I don't think it's unthinkable that Oregon can win, but I think Virginia won't get too much of a push here against the Ducks.
We're covering as much ground as we can with Matt Norlander. He joins us once again. Hey, Matt, Coby White had 17 points. He had 6 rebounds in North Carolina's bludgeoning of Washington. You did a video piece of him for CBS Sports, and in that piece you pointed out he is the highest scoring freshman in UNC history, breaking MJ's record. When you look at Carolina's incredible history, have they ever had a freshman like him?
They haven't. Thanks for bringing that up, by the way, Jim. I appreciate that. Yeah, do check that out if you could. Coby White's got he's got one heck of a story. I actually think he's now the most, with John Morant out of the tournament, the non-Zion division of the most watchable players, and there's still plenty of fun dudes. But to me, Coby White, he's almost got like a little Russ Smith in him in terms of unpredictability, but fantastic scoring guard. You know, he never thought he would be at North Carolina, but he committed only a few days after getting an official offer. His father was still alive then. His father got diagnosed with cancer, and that disease took him quickly. So his dad never got to see him play in a uniform, and it's kind of been a bittersweet thing for him. But he is a fun guy to watch. I talked with Roy Williams multiple times throughout the season about what it's been like to coach Coby, and there's a lot of talent on this roster. Like, I'm not trying to shortchange Luke May, Cam Johnson, what they've been able to do. Nasir Little is coming on so strong, where if Nasir Little can play like this, then yeah, they can win the national championship. But Coby White can go. I mean, he is the fastest point guard that Roy's ever had, not named Ty Lawson. And the way that he can score, distribute, and yet sometimes, yeah, he can get a little ahead of himself. He's a freshman, but they have never had anyone like him. And he is, it's not just the scoring stuff. He has set marks that have not been done by UNC freshmen before. So he makes, to me, more than anyone, UNC as must watch as it's ever been, and that's still a loaded reason they got there. You've got some big time coaches still around, but I still like North Carolina to come out of the Midwest.
All right, so before you go, you mentioned John Morant. Back on Thursday, you were in Hartford for the John Morant show. What did you make of what you saw?
It was amazing. So just real quick to set the scene. So Vermont took up half the building because they come down from the Green Mountain State down to Hartford, and their team loses a good one to Florida State, but they stick around for the second game in that session. Everyone's on Murray State. Morant's wowing the crowd. It's kind of a smaller building, not an NBA arena, so it made for some cozy confines. It was terrific. Morant had, honestly, considering it was the first triple-double since Draymond in 2012, only the 17th ever, 9th official one, I guess. One of the 20 best games by a player in NCAA tournament history. Like, it's absolutely absurd. And then I had a chance to talk with Ja after they got knocked out. Like, a 28-point loss. Get this, Jim. Like, 28-point loss. You started hot. Florida State just overwhelms them. A lot of guys in that spot, you know, end of your season, almost certainly the end of your college career, if you want to fulfill your media responsibility and kind of make your way on out, like, it's totally understandable. But I posted a video to social media, to Twitter, which since melted my mentions down, but that's a whole other story altogether. But what people don't know is, like, Ja was sitting or standing in the entryway waiting for the media timeout to come, and it was about 4 or 5 minutes. Like, he could have been like, you know what, like, I'm just going to head out. But no, he just waited, had his buddy, had a couple teammates with him, and he didn't know who he was going to give the shoes to. He just happened to walk behind the Purdue bench, and there was a young boy there, gave the shoes. And then Jim, when he was doing this, it was interesting because he's got like a little bit of his eye onto him in this regard. Like pregame, people want to get the photos of him. They're calling his name. And then all of a sudden, everyone realizes he's walked back into the arena. Because remember, the game, his game's been over for about 45 minutes to an hour at this point. Most people think he's left the arena. So everyone starts, you know, taking photos, screaming for him. As he leaves, after he takes the photo with the kid, a little boy named Nash, the whole section like stands up, gives him a round of applause. He's got people reaching him for high fives. And he kind of just dips back into the tunnel, into the quiet, heads off to the bus with his career over. Tremendous kid. Huge, huge, great character with him. Couldn't have been more impressed with what he did. And Murray State, and made us believe for a little bit. But just like every other potential Cinderella, unfortunately, it got knocked out well before to the Sweet 16.
Still, a moment like that, Matt, only at the NCAA tournament. And I agree, Ja is just so electric, both on and off the floor. That really was a great moment. And I'm glad you captured that. He covers college basketball for CBSSports.com. Co-host of CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball Podcast. Good friend of the program. Matt, we got to do this again before the end of the tournament. Great job.
You got it, Jim. Thank you so much.
Have a great day, Matt. Well done. Matt Norlander. Yeah, I tried to cover as much as I possibly could over the weekend. You can't cover the entire thing, but we got a lot done, right? 1-800-636-8686. All right, so next segment is open. You want to take advantage of that. I've got two interviews coming up in hour number two. Landry Shamet of the Clippers and also Mark Few, Gonzaga head coach. Bulldogs are going to be out here at the Honda Center on Thursday. Some good matchups there. Meantime, already some Matt Norlander reaction. Stephen ABQ tweets, look at Norlander with all the old jungle drops. I know, Matt knows the show now. We go back. Why do you think I introduce him as a good friend of the program? He knows the program. At Table Slam Fam tweets, Jim, I'm waiting on Norlander to start comparing coaches to Larry Brown. He might. When we return, I want to get into Gronk's retirement. I want to talk about Bob Kraft's whack non-apology and a recap of the Los Angeles Marathon. Both of our guys finished. Adam Hawk ran the marathon. He finished the marathon. He is at work today, rocking his medal. Got all that coming up for you. But get up in here, right? Two interviews next hour. Phone lines open next segment. Give me a call. First up, I've got a sports update for you. Here you go.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I just watched Adam Hawk walk into the studio. That was painful. That's painful to watch. I can only imagine how that feels. I'll do a Q&A with him a little bit later on. We'll talk about what it was like the entire day, start to finish. He did it. He did it. He did it. Monday is an ATP day. Ask the Pros, where you ask me a question, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Make sure you ask your question there. Don't email it to me. Don't tweet it to me. Do it at that address. Listen later on. I might answer yours. And think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Back to that point that Matt Norlander made. Did he said, you know, I think that Zion makes Duke likable. Listen, if you don't like Duke or you hate Duke, and there's a whole lot of people that hate Duke, that's never going to change. Zion won't change that. There's nothing you can tell people like that. Those who've already decided that they hate Duke are always going to hate Duke. Nothing will change. Not for those people. I'm not one of those people. But if you are one of those people, you know you're never changing. Like this email. This email reads, nothing like watching Duke get beat and then watching the universe and the refs conspire to stop it. UCF misses an easy alley-oop, then give up an open three, Then they get jobbed on a Zion charge, and Taco fouls out. Then there's the obvious missed push-off on the offensive rebound. And then because God hates everybody, apparently, both those shots don't go down, and UCF loses. I know that Johnny Dawkins and Coach K are close, but if that rat-faced dude walked into my locker room with his head dumped into a bucket of black paint and tried to teach me a life lesson, I'd have ripped the whiskers off his face. Unward Duke, Phil in St. Paul. Yo, Phil, bitter much? A lot of that's fair. I mean, they may have gotten away with that push-off. UCF did miss that alley-oop. Duke did go back and knock in that open three. If Taco does not foul out, the end of that game might have been different. You know, woulda, coulda, shoulda. If my aunt had Nad, she'd be my uncle. Hey, what can I say? They got over. They got over. The Blue Bloods often find a way to get it done. As far as you Duke haters go, hey, look, nobody really knows anybody. I've made this point a million times on this show. But if you don't like Zion, there really is something wrong with you. This guy is much must-watch TV. And he's got such a great way about him, such an easy way about him, with himself, with the media, amazing teammate, a guy who, much of you said, should have shut it down when he exploded his shoe. It wasn't worth the risk of hundreds of millions of dollars, but he wants to be out there. He's been playing great since he came back. How can you literally have a problem with this guy? I mean, don't you think it's time for a lot of you to get over your hatred of Christian Laettner? Do you still hate Duke because of Cherokee Parks, Eric Meek, or whoever it is you hated back in the day, Bobby Hurley? I mean, come on, really? You know how much energy it takes to continue to hate something like that year after year after year? I'm not going to tell you how to feel. J.J. Redick? I mean, I know you didn't hate the Alaskan Assassin, right? You can't hate Trajan Langdon. Grayson Allen, yeah, I could see that. 1-800-636-8686. For the record, I am not a guy who hates Duke. I'm not a guy that even dislikes Duke. In fact, for the record, I like Duke. Sustained excellence.
Certainly Duke is Duke.
And that guy that you're talking about who, quote, dumped his head in a bucket of black paint with whiskers? Who, you mean the greatest coach ever? They're still alive. Survive in advance. Survive in advance. I feel badly for UCF, though, man. That scene in that locker room was absolutely gut-wrenching. Gut-wrenching. Dear Snags, was in Vegas over the weekend. Stayed at Area, where they happen to have a Javier's in the lobby. Once I saw this, I demanded that we go there. My girlfriend and the other couple we were with were skeptical because of, quote, all the great options elsewhere, end quote. Over the weekend, I finally broke them down. We went right before our flight home Saturday night. My girlfriend is still talking about how awesome that place was. Best food and service we had all weekend. I told her that we'll have to go to the one in LA to hang with you and Andy Reid. Can't wait. Signed, Ryder in Chicago via St. Louis. P.S. Pulled up to the blackjack table with a Duke shirt on, and I was met with, of course, Duke is Duke. They're on TV more
certainly
than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
TV more than Leave It to Beaver
by the guy
reruns.
Next to me. Clones everywhere, Snags. My man, I'm glad you had a great experience at Javier's. Listen, if you want to go to the one in L.A., go to the one in L.A. But the one where Andy Reid was posted up was the one in Crystal Cove, Newport Beach. There's one in both those places. But I'm glad that was a good experience. Glad you wore down your peeps. You did the right thing. Rome, we're happy we're no longer the most loser thing on Hawk's car now. Being replaced by a 26-2 sticker. Signed, Hawk's Baby on Board sticker, and I'd rather be playing golf, license plate holder. John in Huntington Beach. War Hawk donating his toenail that will fall off for charity. I'll tell you what. So we were in Escondido on Friday night, remember? Hawk and I made that trip down. Got a ride down, got a car, took us down there, and then got the ride back. And Adam Hawk and I, we hadn't eaten, we hadn't had anything to drink. It was Friday night. He knew his life might end on Sunday. We had a good productive day on Friday. So we stopped for dinner, turned the car loose. So the car that you mentioned, John, I rode shoddy in that car.
Hey, John.
Hawk drove me home in that car. But that was prior to the 26-2 on the back windshield. I don't know, Adam. I think I might have to take another ride in that car. And this email. Hey, Jim. I hate the Pats. I love how they're a bit of a circus act right now because of their owner. But Gronk absolutely should be a first ballot HOFer. Any player that redefines his position like he did should get in first chance. Braden Hillsdale, War Odell, and his Wakanda reference. I think Gronk's first ballot. He didn't play as long as some. Others put up bigger numbers. But I think that I've never seen a tight end like Gronk. I think there have been some amazing tight ends. Tony Gonzalez just got in, rightfully so. Tony Gonzalez is an amazing athlete, amazing player, amazing presence. Defense coordinators had to look at him always and say, what do we do about him? But Gronk, to me, revolutionized that position. I've never seen a guy play the position the way Gronk did. To me, Gronk is definitely a first ballot guy. And it did happen. The moment that everybody knew was coming became official yesterday. Gronk is retiring. And in a statement he posted on Instagram, he wrote in part, it all started at 20 years old, on stage at the NFL draft, when my dream came true. And now here I am, about to turn 30 in a few months, with a decision that I feel is the biggest of my life so far. I will be retiring from the game of football today. I am so grateful for the opportunity that Mr. Kraft and Coach Belichick gave to me when drafting my silliness in 2010. My life experiences over the last 9 years have been amazing, both on and off the field. The people I've met, the relationships I've built, the championships I've been a part of. I just want to thank the whole New England Patriots organization for every opportunity I've been given and learning the great values of life that I can apply to mine. End quote. And with that, the most dominant tight end is hanging it up. And what a bizarre, incredible marriage that was. Think about it. The stuffy, buttoned up New England Patriots and Rob Gronkowski. The Patriot way meets the Yo Soy Fiesta way.
Yo Soy Fiesta.
And it worked. It worked great, actually. And now he's going to retire at 29, which is good for him. And I'm not surprised. Reportedly, the Pats were a little surprised. And in some circles, even shocked. Not me. I mean, I'm never going to tell a guy to retire or to not retire. But if you've seen the pounding that this guy's taken over the years, it's the right move. He's walking away while he can still walk. Like, Hawk, you should retire. You can barely walk. You should walk away while you still can't walk, Adam Hawk. No, Gronk's walking away while he can still walk, and he's on top, and he goes out on his own terms. How many pro athletes can say that? How many pro athletes have taken the pounding that this guy has? Being that big, that fast, that physical, it took its toll. Remember, there was the back surgery even before he arrived in the NFL. That cost him a year. That's the reason he dropped into the second round. And that was in college. Then he had a torn ACL, a broken arm, a bad hamstring, two more back surgeries thrown in. And yet he's going to walk away as the most incredible force that the position has ever seen. I know there have been other tight ends with more longevity, better numbers, but nobody dominated the position and dominated games the way Gronk did. Maybe not even just as a tight end, but at any position. And then the numbers, it's not like they're bad numbers. They're awesome. Three rings. First tight end in history with three straight seasons of double-digit TDs. Most yards per game by a tight end in NFL history. And the numbers go on and on. And I'll finish that thought when I come back. Also, Adam Hawk finished the marathon. That story's coming up. Landry Shamet and Mark Few next hour. And your phone calls as well. Don't go anywhere. Second hour is coming up.